Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The inspiration of the Bible. There can be little doubt that this lesson deals with one of today's most religiously hard-fought battles. The Bible is here. None can deny that. But how did it come into being? Where did it come from? And strange as it may sound, many Christians do not even know. Many young people have never been informed. Is the Bible just another outstanding piece of literature, but nothing more? Is it holy of men? Or is it holy of God? And if holy of God, how did it take the form it now has? We contend that men would not have produced the Bible even if they could have done it, because it condemns too much that men love and commends many things from which men turn away. The contents of the Bible are beyond the scope of human knowledge. If the Bible came entirely from men, the writers would have condemned themselves, because the Bible claims to have come from God. The writer would be calling themselves liars and condemning lying at the same time. That sounds hardly likely and probable. But if the Bible came entirely from God, how do you explain the obvious differences of style of writing that's found in it? Was it presented to man all written out, like the first set of the tablets of stone given to Moses? Why are there four accounts of the life of Christ on earth rather than just one? And why is there such a wide variance of vocabularies in the books? The truth is, friend, that the Bible is a product of the combination of God and man, with each having something to do with it. And we want to learn just what each has done. Peter wrote, 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Holy men, guided by the Holy Spirit, produced the Bible. Is the Bible inspired? If so, what is the nature of that inspiration? Now, even modernists and unbelievers will admit that there is a sense in which the Bible is inspired, if you let them define inspiration. The Bible claims that it is inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." The Scriptures are replete with such expressions as, "Thus saith the Lord said," and similar words. The writers of the Bible never claimed that they wrote of themselves, but they claimed they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the claim of the Bible is not that it merely contains the Word of God, but that it is the very Word of God. Notice some of the statements that we find in the Bible. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." God said to Moses, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Exodus 4 and verse 12. David wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." 2 Samuel 23, 1 and 2. Jesus endorsed the Old Testament in its three divisions, Luke 24, 44. And these three divisions, as the Jews divided them, correspond to the 39 books that we have in the Old Testament today. He placed his endorsement on the record of creation in Matthew chapter 19, and on the account of the flood in the time of Noah, Matthew 24, and even the record of Jonah and the fish in Matthew chapter 12. And while unbelievers today may consider such accounts as mere legends, Jesus considered them historical. No man can claim to be a true follower of Jesus and contend that Jesus did not know what he was talking about regarding these matters. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he used the word of God to put the devil to flight, Matthew chapter 4. He would repeatedly say, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Friend, that's always been the most effective weapon against Satan. All three of the quotations that Jesus cited came from the book of Deuteronomy. Little wonder that the skeptical world and the modernistic critics of the Bible, who are servants of the devil, have made their first attacks against the Bible integrity by attacking the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus promised his apostles that they would be guided in what they were to say. Matthew 10, John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And on the day of Pentecost, the apostles spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts 2 and verse 4. Paul said what he preached did not come from man, but was revealed to him through Jesus Christ, Galatians 1 and verse 11. What the Thessalonians received was not the word of men, but the word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. And in Corinth, Paul said he spoke not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. Friend, this is verbal inspiration. John, in the book of Revelation, urged the seven churches of Asia to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unquestionably, the Bible claims to be the inspired, all-sufficient, infallible, inerrant, authoritative Word of God. Now, that's what it claims. There are those who object to using the statements of the Bible to support its own claims. But this is illogical and unfair and certainly discriminatory. If one wanted to determine the contents of a bottle, must he not study the contents? If the nature of a nugget of metal wished to be determined, must not one study the nugget itself? And so it is with the Scripture. But what is the nature of biblical claim of inspiration? Some would say it's inspired only as was Shakespeare or Milton or other writers of fame. They would strip away all signs of deity regarding it. But Paul asserted that the Scriptures were inspired of God. That literally means God breathed. They were filled with the breath of God. They are the product of the divine Spirit. They were given through the Holy Spirit. Inspiration implies an influence from without, producing effects which are beyond the natural powers. Those who wrote, therefore, were overshadowed by power outside themselves, and that power was God. The power was not merely some force, but the personal, true, and living God of heaven. An inspiration is more than just receiving a revelation. When anyone is informed of something, they have received a revelation. If someone tells you the time of day, you have received a revelation. Inspiration is the reception of a revelation, all right, but a revelation from God. And that revelation is preserved from error, it is absolute, and it is infallibly accurate. Everything revealed in the Bible is inspired, therefore. The inspired ones were infallibly guided in their record. Anyone who claims to believe the Bible, but denies the verbal and plenary inspiration of it, just really does not believe the Bible. Now, some have said that only the thoughts of the Bible are inspired and not the words. Well, the thoughts are inspired. But how are thoughts expressed without words? These words are not men's interpretations of what God was saying and thinking. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, that such was not the case. Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would not only provide them how to speak, but what to speak. This is the inspired word itself. Paul delivered sermons in the very words the Holy Spirit chose to use. And while the Holy Spirit moved the penman to write, the Spirit used words from the vocabularies of the writers to express deity's thoughts. Inspiration did not make man a mere robot. It utilized human faculties, using the distinctive features of each writer, but so overshadowed the selection of words from the vocabularies of each writer that the word is in fact the word of God. In this way, the divine thoughts are revealed through inspired words written by inspired men. The writers were not mere machines. The divine side, God, gave through men, clearly and faithfully, what deity wished to reveal and communicate using human means of communication that the writers possessed. Such is the nature of the inspiration of the Bible. Inspiration did not make these men immune from bodily affliction. It did not grant them infallible knowledge as astronomers and doctors and economists and other things. They were inspired as teachers and writers of God's Word. It did not even make them immune from temptation and sin. It meant that what they wrote was truly reported. They even reported the lies of the devil, the evil deeds of men, as well as the good things of men and the actions of deity, but they all reported them just as it was. Now, there are irrefutable evidences that this is the nature of the Bible. And even though the Bible is not a scientific book, when it speaks of scientific matters, friend, it speaks correctly. Many statements of the scientific nature of the Bible are found that could not possibly have been known by men at that time. Isaiah contemplated the redundancy of the earth. Job mentioned the emptiness of the northern sky. David wrote of the paths or the currents of the sea. Job mentioned how God hangeth the earth on nothing. There is not one proven scientific fact that conflicts with the scientific information as is discussed in the Bible. And how could these writers, living hundreds, even thousands of years before men of science discovered these things, how could they have known them except the Creator of it all informed them of it? And there is impartiality in the Bible. You know, when men write of their enemies or their heroes, their biases come through. But in the Bible, Bible heroes are reported both doing good and evil. There's fairness, there's frankness. Even the worthies of the Bible, like Abraham and Moses and David and Peter, they are told about with an impartiality. This is not characteristic of writings of purely human origin. And unlike human writings, Scripture does not cater to human curiosity. Where was Moses buried? What did Christ look like? How did Paul die? Where was Joseph's house in Nazareth? Now, all these things men would want to know if humans had chosen to include these things in the Bible. Such trivia would have been in them. But the Holy Spirit did not write in such fashion or cause men to write of these things. Furthermore, the unity and the oneness of the Bible is a marvel. Even though the Bible is composed of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament, it is one book from start to finish. And even though over 40 different writers were used, and the writing time spanned over 1,500 years or more, there is one story, with one central personality, who is Jesus Christ, and one theme, God's way of saving man, one primary goal and purpose. Yes, it is as a portrait painted by different artists in different times and different countries, unknown to each other, each painting a portion of the portrait, and when their work is completed and compiled, there is a magnificent portrait. How else could that be explained except by divine guidance and oversight? Such is the nature of the Bible. The prophecy and fulfillment element of the Bible cannot be answered. It is evidence of the divine inspiration of it. It is only denied and brushed away with a wave of the skeptical hand, but this argument of prophecy and fulfillment is not and cannot be answered. How could men foretell events over which they would have no control, literally thousands of years before they occurred, and they happened just as they predicted? Except that there was divine oversight in both the prediction and the fulfillment. Well, we do not have time to cite the multitude of prophetic statements and their accomplishments, but the Bible students are aware of these things, and you add to all of this the indestructibility of the Bible, even though there have been many concerted efforts to destroy it. Destruction has been attempted, and the anticipation of false doctrines and the answers to these false doctrines are given even before the false doctrines were concocted. The influence of the Bible in every sphere of life down through the centuries is evidence that it came from God. There can be no doubt that the Bible is not just an ordinary book, but even an exceptional book. It's more than that. It is the Word of God as it claims to be. And friend, that being so, it is authoritative, and man is accountable to God by the things revealed in the Bible. The Bible tells us from whence all things came, even man. It tells us why we are here. It tells us how to live while we are here. And it tells us where we are going. It is the Bible that gives us hope for eternity, as well as a guiding light for this life. The revelation of the Scriptures will be that by which we shall be judged in the last day. Thanks be to God that He so loved us to give us His Word, and that we have it, that we can learn it, we can believe it and obey it, and we can enjoy the blessings of God that are revealed in it. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.